Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Very good morning to all of you out there this morning. Today is July 16th, 2020, and you're listening to These Be Perilous Times, where we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond to the things which must soon take place. I'm Pastor Andre here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley, and we both welcome you to this morning's broadcast. If you're listening live, join us with a cup of coffee, or in my case this morning, I have tea. I'll have my Bible. Make sure you have a pad and pen and get ready for today's word. Want to encourage you all to take copious notes, and take a plethora, take as many notes as you can as an outline and as a guide for you to go back and enrich your study and to go over the things we've discussed, and as the Bereans did, to go back and see if these things are true. We don't put ourselves up and saying that we are absolutely perfect, but we want to make sure that the things that God has given us, that you verify them for yourselves. So before we get started, I'd like to ask Rabbi if you would open us up with a word of prayer, sir.
Amen, amen. Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, we are excited about what you are about to share, and we want to hear from you. We thank you for forgiving us of our sins, our iniquities, and transgressions, Father, and our forefathers on both sides of our family to the third and fourth generation. Father, we thank you that you appropriate each day that thousand generation blessing through us to those in our family. And we are exuberant about seeing and understanding and applying what you're desiring today. We know that you desire to speak to us each and every day. You desire to commune with us and to fellowship with us. So, Father, we desire that with you. We desire to hear from you and to know from you and to order our steps and to cause us to be pleasing and in your sight. So we give you the glory and you the praise for this broadcast and for what you're about to reveal about the book Revelation and about where we are in these perilous times. We give you the glory and praise in Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, I'll pass it right back to you, Pastor Andre, and excited about what God's doing here.
Amen. I am too. Before I get too excited for good, let us go ahead and open up with our before Torah study blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Ruch atah Yehua, Eloheinu melech haolam, arashir kishanu b'mitzvotav, itzanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments, and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen, amen. Well, going ahead and opening up, just as I do on occasion, I want us to remind ourselves of our theme scripture. And especially for those who may be listening for the first time, we're coming out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, and that's where the name of this show comes from. It says, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come." When I think of that verse, one of the things, Rabbi, that even stands out to me is the fact that it was not saying they may come or you might see tough times. It's saying they will come. And one of the things, as even in our intro that we discuss, is that we need to know how to respond to the things which are going to be taking place in and around us. So I want us to also cover a few of the important points to remind ourselves in this time. And those two scriptures are, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. And I'm going to go ahead and read that today. And it says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." And then the other scripture, same book, but chapter 1. And I'm reading it in this order because of the individuals it's speaking about. There's 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." So the point here, and this is a good note point here, neither the Father of the bridegroom nor the bridegroom have appointed the bride to wrath. And we've been discussing over the weeks, especially as we've read through the seventh seal, when we talked about the seven trumpets, especially the seven vials, that that is a time that's not appointed. The bride is not appointed for that. And so that's an important note to have. Another reminder, ancient Jewish wedding is a theme that we discuss very often in this show. And the ancient Jewish wedding is the Hebraic pattern for the whole Bible. All of the scripture requirements of the biblical ancient Jewish wedding must be met and maintained in order to qualify to enter the bedroom chamber, or what we also call the holy city, what the scripture calls the New Jerusalem, the rapture, and the temple of God. The key scriptures for this were Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. Again, Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, and also chapter 7, verse 15 in the book of Revelation. Now, this past week, we gave an outline. We discussed how to read and organize the book of Revelation into a linear outline. And if you have not done this yet, I encourage you to go back, catch up on this, especially this past week, and go ahead and read through in that order so you can see for yourself, not just take our word for it. But today I'm going to go ahead and reread that outline for you so you can have that in your notes, as well as to have for your personal study. I'm going to go as slowly as possible here, starting in chapter 1. So we have Revelation chapter 1, then we have chapter 12. Then we go to chapter 2, and then we have chapter 3 through chapter 7. The next section, chapter 13 through chapter 14. Then you have chapter 8 through chapter 11. Again, that's 8 through 11. Then we have chapter 15, chapter 16, and then chapter 17 through chapter 22. Okay. Now, we also read through chapters, specifically last week, chapters 17 through 18, and we began a discussion of the Scarlet Woman, or some scriptures call it the Great Harlot, and we discussed Mystery Babylon's destruction. Now, during this conversation, we also began to examine the Scarlet Woman. Through the kings of the earth, it says they fornicated with her, but later they despised her, and that's from Revelation chapter 17, verse 16. Now, this Scarlet Woman represents a great city, Babylon, which rules the kings of the earth. And quite frankly, we discussed that the United States is a contender when you consider its influence throughout the earth. And we will get more into details about that later. But we read through chapter 17, 18, and I believe chapter 19 is in more discussion in line with this. Now, following the thread of who is Mystery Babylon, we examined how the Americas, it was called a wilderness nation. We specifically looked at Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 33 through 38, talking about the wilderness of the peoples. And this also is referenced in Revelation chapter 12, verse 6 and 14. The latter verse referencing the great wings of a great eagle hiding God's people in the wilderness. And this was one of those other key note points to connect with. Now, this week we'll continue our study with Rabbi John, and we have chapter 19 on the slate, but we'll also go wherever the Holy Spirit leads. So, Rabbi, I want to go ahead and pass the baton to you for this exciting teaching for today.
Amen and amen. Now, one of the things that, Pastor Andre, one of the things that kind of has got me wanting to pause just a tad bit before we jump into chapter 19 is, do we have enough information? This is just a question. Do we have enough information to kind of know or to better gauge where we are? And I'm talking about the Americas, more specifically the United States of America. Because there are quite a few prophecies out there that are probably going to need to discuss before we jump into chapter 19. For example, our current president, and the prophecy that has been spoken about him being a latter day or end times Cyrus, King Cyrus. Now, that's one of the topics on the table today. Okay. And the reason why that's on the topic, that topic is there, is because I'm sensing in the spirit that there is a transitional period between Revelations chapter 12, verse 6 and 14, that talks about an America, or the Americas, the wing of an eagle, you know, the symbol of America, United States, coming and cultivating and protecting and covering the DNA Israeli for a time before it becomes this mystery Babylon, this Scarlet Woman, if you will, because the mystery Babylon is something that the Apostle John did not recognize. He did not recognize mystery Babylon. Babylon, he was very much familiar with its graphic location, its demographics and things of that nature, because that was in the Middle Eastern area, and they were familiar with it. But this mystery Babylon that had a lot of similitudes to Babylon in its heyday is something that he was not familiar with. So there's a transition, and I hope you see where I'm going. There's a transition from the Americas protecting and covering and keeping the DNA Israeli for a time to the point to where in chapter 18, you know, the Lord specifically tells them, and I think it's verse 4. If you can get verse 4 for me, I think that's it. Where Yah specifically tells, you know, his people to come out from among them, you know, and be ye separate, because he is getting ready to do a Sodom and Gomorrah right here. You know, so he's trying to get the lots out in order for him to get ready to pass the, not judgment here, but the wrath. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah was the wrath of God. Okay? In judgment, there's an opportunity to recover. But in Sodom and Gomorrah, it was decimated. I mean, fire and brimstone just leveled it to where it would never, ever be resurrected or reestablished again. It's a heap of rubble, you know? But anyway, Revelation chapter 18, I believe it's verse 4.
Yes, you're exactly right. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that she be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. And that was King James Version.
Yes. All right. So there's a transition. Do you see what I mean about a transition? Can you go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 6 and verse 14? Because
yes, sir.
I think there's a transition, you know, from, you know, being, you know, I used to watch a lot of cowboys and Indians, you know, back in the day. One of the things that was noteworthy for me to pick up quickly was, you know, the good guys always wore the white hats, and they never wore the black hats. And the bad guys always wore the black hats, and they never wore the white hats. Okay? But in this particular biblical narrative, we've got an individual that will wear the white hat in the beginning, but then have the black hat all the way through the end of the tribulation period.
Wow.
Can you read those for us, please?
Absolutely. The first scripture for your note-taking is Revelation chapter 12, verse 6, and then we'll follow that with Revelation chapter 12, verse 14, the first one. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Okay, and that's about 42 months. Now, verse 14. And the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent.
Okay, now verse 14 is where I want to really pick up. Okay, because in verse 14, it says a great eagle. Now, help me out with this history. There are only, that I know of, prominent nations, prominent errors, where there were nations that use the eagle as their their symbol or emblem. One is Rome, and the other one is the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're talking about the end times. So Rome is out of the picture as far as its heyday. Okay. All right. But the United States is definitely in the picture. Now, if the United States is in the picture, then we really should understand and begin to formulate spiritual understanding of who is in charge. And is that something that prophetically is being seen in Scripture? Now, that brings us to Isaiah 45 and verse 2, verse 1 and 2. Now, in Isaiah 45, verses 1 and 2, and I don't think it's an accident that we have the 45th president of the United States, and that the 45 is referencing Cyrus, King Cyrus, and that there is and has already been, prior to his election, a prophetic word given to one of the clergy members. And you can Google that and get his name and all that kind of stuff, and when it happened and what the Lord had told him. But that our current president, President Trump, would be elected president prior to the time. Now, there's also a prophetic pertaining to that, that he would be elected a second term. Now, the way things are looking, and you know how political wars go, they're up and down and they're everywhere, and no one's safe, and there's nothing that you would not put on the table to try to discredit an individual. But as such as it is now with the polls and different things like that, it would be a miracle for him to, a God-given miracle for him to be reelected. Now, if he is reelected, then I would have to say that we potentially, and this is just my opinion, Pastor Andre, we potentially could be seeing ourselves going into this 3.5-year protection policy. Okay? And I'm talking about the believers as well as the DNA Israelis. Okay? Now, that's interesting. If, and it's a big if, only two letters, but it's a big if that be the case, then what we're potentially looking at is we're looking at a shift. Because within that scope of that 3.5 years after that, then the black hats are going to rise and they're going to take the preeminence over everything. It's going to be a macro level. Now, we need to understand
that.
Now, we do. Yeah. Now, the beautiful thing about this is this. If we believe Revelation chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, and I want you to get there, then we have to understand the difference of what you just read pertaining to the wrath and judgment. Okay? They're not the same thing. If you could read that for us, and we're talking about the Philadelphia church.
Yes. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name.
Okay. And you read verse 10?
No, I'm sorry. Here's verse 9. I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are... Did you want me to read 9 or, and 10 or just 10? I'm sorry.
Yeah, 9 and 10 is good. Yeah, that's okay. I said 8
okay.
and 10. That's fine.
Okay, I'm sorry. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth.
So we have this promise, Pastor Andre. Okay. See, because Mystery Babylon is the same construct of the individual that had the white hat. Now, we're getting ready to go through a white hat experience, if you will, if you allow me to coin it. But we also need to understand that as we press in to his patience, which means his Torah, you know, the commandments of God, as well as the relationship of Yeshua, okay, as we press into that, we're guaranteeing ourselves not to be here when the black hat experience starts, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And this experience is going to happen primarily by the Scarlet Woman or by the Americas. We already see potentially, and I'd say potentially, that this virus, man-made or not, which I definitely believe it was man-made, is orchestrating the transition from the white hat to the black hat. It's already beginning to play a very significant role in the precursor of having to step it up for a savior to come on the scene. Now, keep in mind, in order for a savior to come on the scene and individuals take that savior literally, you have to have something to save. And if you're doing very fine by yourself without a savior, thank you very much, then there has to be chaos that is orchestrated in order for there to legitimize a savior. Are you following me here, Pastor Andre?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so what am I saying? And I'll pass it to you.
So in other words, and just to be clear with where we are talking about the timeline here, if in order for there to be a anti or a false savior, a false messiah, there needs to be something that the people need saving from. And one of the best ways to describe it is all, using their own terms, a lot of the, what's the best way? Using the terminology of the secular world. A lot of times they say that we need a chaotic event or chaos in order to bring order. And so they need an impetus, they need a beginning, they need something to be the powder keg or something to start the change. And they need something that they can, quote unquote, fix or to save the people, to have them perceive that, hey, we need saving and we're going to run to you because you're going to save us from the calamity that's around us.
Exactly. Now, what happens if the calamity that was already orchestrated falls flat and doesn't do enough chaotic damage in order to fulfill the recipe and the climate of chaos, the height of chaos, in order for the Antichrist to appear?
I imagine you have to stoke the flames or to create uncertainty.
Okay, and I'll run with that. In other words, you've got to bring it to another level. If it did not reach the level of calamity and chaos that is necessary for the Antichrist to come in and save the day, okay? I used to be hooked on Underdog, you know? And one of his famous lines, Pastor Andre, I don't know if you've ever seen Underdog before, but you might have. You know,
I have.
You know. Oh, well, then go ahead and share that famous line that I'm alluding to.
Now, I remember because his little dog, he has a little cape on him, but Underdog, I can't remember the exact phrasing, but he said something about here to save the day.
Yeah, he says, there's no need to fear.
Underdog is here.
That's Underdog is here. And then he would also say, I've, you know, come to save the day. Now, that is a strong prophetic message for us today. Fear has to be the number one tool that the Antichrist and the New World Order is having to utilize. Because one of the biggest problems about the United States right now, it was proven, and this was proven, it was tested and proven during 9/11. During 9/11, the situation that happened there was targeted to economic, financial status and bring it to an all-time low. Okay? It failed. It failed because the will and the work ethic and the resolve of the American people were so strong that we just kept it together as we were trying to rebuild. The situation with the COVID-19 is failing miserably. So much so that the president is wanting to, to not fund the WHO acronym, the World Health Organization, because they were the ones that were trying to help sell us a bag of goods pertaining to this disease. So if it failed, then it failed to bring the kind of fear that is necessary in order to usher in the Antichrist. Because remember, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is very, very clear with what Paul said. Paul understood that we were not a pre-trib rapture. He didn't believe in that theology. Okay? As a matter of fact, he already had the download from the Lord. He'd spent quality time with him. And he knew that the Antichrist had to appear first. He had to appear. He had to be on the scene and everyone know who he is. When I say know who he is, you not know the backstory of who he is, because if they did, they wouldn't follow him. But I'm saying he had to appear and to make his move. Okay? And if you could read that, I think it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll just jump at about maybe 4 and read from 4 to like 8 maybe. Okay?
Okay. So the first thought starts right at 3. If it's okay if
at
I read
three,
that.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? Verse 6. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Should I continue?
No, you can stop there. Now, okay. We know, or at least some of us know, not all of us listening may not know, that he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. It's more of an idiom that was mistranslated. It's referring to the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit is hindering his appearance. He's hindering his move and his manifestation. So the authority of the Holy Spirit that we have has to be moved out of the way in order for the Antichrist to begin to move into demonic things and the diabolical things that he's desiring. But this was a common doctrine. I mean, Paul's talking to the congregation in Thessalonica. And he's telling them, he says, hey, I talked to you about this. I told you this. Don't listen to those hearsayers back in his day that was saying that you missed the rapture. The second coming's already come and gone. Okay? Because you have biblical proof of what is. But he's letting you know and letting them know, that the Antichrist is going to be revealed, but the Antichrist has to follow a different but yet similar motif that Yeshua followed. There was spiritual chaos, and Yeshua came to save the world. Well, where there is spiritual chaos, the flip side of that for the Antichrist is there has to be natural physical chaos. And the problem is if the chaotic protocol that was used is not strong enough to bring a tremendous amount of fear in the massive populace on a macro level, then there has to be another plague. Okay? And there is a plague that's beginning to surface. Okay? And we need to prepare ourselves both spiritually and physically for this particular plague. I believe, and I don't know if you got the article about a squirrel that was found with a certain disease that had happened way in the medieval period. Would you care to kind of comment on that, sir? And this is in the United States.
I just saw this.
This squirrel was found, if you know what I mean. I personally think that the squirrel did not find the disease. It's just unfortunate that the squirrel couldn't get away and was injected with the disease. But go ahead. That's just my opinion.
So, yeah. So, and I just saw this yesterday. But they found a squirrel that had the bubonic plague. And So they found a squirrel that had, I hope I have the right terminology here, but the bubonic plague. And
yes,
most people,
you
if you
right
think
technology.
Of plague, man, when you think of plague, most people go back to the medieval time where their people were just dying all over the place, and that is exactly what they found. And it was found in Colorado, a squirrel with bubonic plague. And so one of the things that they're concerned about, as it tested positive for this, of course, is transmission to a host of animals and humans. And this happened, reports as early as 2 days ago.
So one of the things that I want you all to understand is if the level of fear does not reach the threshold, then the manifestation of these types of diseases and famines and pestilence and all of that will continue, regardless if it's man-made or induced or not. The fact is, it is among us, and it is being pressed upon us. And I'll say that again. It is among us, and it's being pressed upon us. You need to make sure that you understand the strategy. Pastor Andre, if you understand their strategy, would that not be a significant forewarning for you and your family to take precautions that you need to take during these perilous times? I pass it to you.
Yes. When you have the understanding, just like what Paul had said in the scripture we just read, have I not told you these things? The Holy Spirit and the scriptures are telling us these things so that we know, again, going to our intro theme, how to discern the signs of the times and how we should respond. When we see their playbook, we should not fall into it, but we should be aware of it so that we can step around it. And Rabbi, as you said so eloquently, the main objective, in fact, I've heard this about this whole situation we experienced with COVID, and they're saying the plague was not the virus is not necessarily the virus that's causing people to have these respiratory systems, but the main virus that's going out is a spirit of fear. And that is the ultimate objective. In fact, without it, they can't do anything. Just like for us as believers, it is impossible to please God without faith. In order for the adversary to work, he needs fear to be rampant. So we have to know that so that we can prepare ourselves, one, so that we don't succumb to the fear virus, but that we also prepare ourselves and strengthen ourselves both spiritually and physically for what must soon take place. How about that?
Amen. That's fantastic. As a matter of fact, let's ride that horse for a little bit.
All right.
It's not what manner of disease or pestilence or famine or any of the noted calamities, if you will, that are going to come upon the earth that is going to take you and I out of the realm of relationship with Yah. What is going to happen is the fear of these things. That fear, of course, just from a natural standpoint, it races and just increases exponentially your level of stress and cortisone, and begins to cause a compromise in your immune system. Now the diseases are all around us. Okay, cancers and all these are all around us, and from time to time go through us. But it's our immune system that combats it and wins the battle that causes us to walk in hell. Okay? And, of course, the natural, dietary foods and exercise and things and water and things of this nature. Of course, I'm not negating that. But I want you to understand how the spiritual affects the natural. And this is where they are. This is what they're trying to do to us. If it's not one thing, it's going to be another. Yes, you're supposed to take the natural precautions, but let's be very sure of what those precautions are, not just from a biblical standpoint, but from a natural health standpoint. Because if you misdiagnose those natural precautions, then you inflate the disease. It's like with COVID-19, they were, and it's been noted, they were giving ventilators and having people on respirators, which was causing the disease to fluster even more and to cause more death. Well, I would have hated to be in the first ones to get on the respirators before they figured it out. This is one of the major reasons, going back to what you said, Pastor Andre, in this day and in this hour, our spiritual discerner better be at its highest level of excellence. Because if not, then we're going to fall prey to the enemy's devices. It's going to happen. And we need to prepare, not just for the bubonic plague. Now, from my understanding, thieves oil. It is an essential oil, but thieves oil was used during that time period that caused individuals that were actually robbing graves, and that's where the term thieves came from, literally, to be able to rob the graves of rich individuals that died because they believed that you could take it with you. So they would put the money or precious items in the grave with them. Then thieves, robbers, would go in and rob the graves of those who had these diseases, the bubonic plague. And they were they were untouched. So what am I saying? I'm not giving you an infomercial pertaining to thieves oil, but I'm saying let's make the necessary precautionary measures that we need to for us and our family right now. Don't just wait and say, oh, well, they've got it controlled and it's not going to get out in the masses and blah, blah, blah. I mean, we know better than that. We know better than that. If we don't, we should. This is the time that you start to protect your micro, you and your family. This is the time that you begin to get things in order. Because the spirit of fear is going to continue to escalate. It has to. It's a part of the biblical narrative. Okay? It's a part of the biblical narrative. That doesn't mean that you have to be a statistic. of that biblical narrative. Mm-hmm. God has not even desired you to be in a situation of where you are judged unless you're walking contrary to the word of God. Then yes, he wants you to be judged. Yes, your spiritual husband wants you to be judged, because you and I have to present ourselves as a chaste virgin, as a bride without spot or blemish. Okay? That is imperative. These things are very, very real, Pastor Andre. They are really yes. happening to the body of Christ right now. So this is not something that we give you a prophecy or prophetic word and then, you know, you wait to see if it's going to happen. You know, this is happening. It is. It's real. Okay. So let's get back on the King Cyrus aspect and let's deal with that and see how or where the progression is going to this Scarlet Woman. Because it is very obvious that America is, like you said, an excellent candidate for the casting role, if you will. And there's a transition that has to happen. This transition, we're going to be somewhat caught up in the middle of this transition. So we need to be aware of it so that we can just sidestep, you know, all of the foolishness. The Messianic believers back in the time of, 135 AD, as well as back in the time of 70 AD, when the Jews of that era and of that time were trying to fight against, in 70, 71 AD, they were trying to fight against the Romans. And the Messianic believers knew that this was not something that they need to be involved in, and nor that they were supposed to be involved in. So they did what was wisdom and what was called of them to do when Yeshua was here. Because Yeshua had already said that they were going to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, you're supposed to migrate from Jerusalem. Don't just stick around in Jerusalem, because I'm telling you what's going to happen. He told his disciples. He called it. In Matthew chapter 24, he told them what was going on and what was going to happen. He didn't go into a lot of detail pertaining to the war, blah, 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 but he told them about the temple and what was going to happen to the temple. So when the disciples and their followers saw this, you better believe they remembered what Yeshua said. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24 real quick.
Yeah, sure.
You know where I'm going, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's verses 1, 2, and 3, somewhere in that area.
Okay. Yes. I'll go ahead and start with verse 1, if that's okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Verse 3.
I was just going to say that you see here that he's already telling them. So you better believe, you know, and most of the disciples, most of the apostles were still alive, you know, except for Paul, who wasn't in that. He wasn't privy to that information at that time because he wasn't an apostle at that time. But also, Peter had already died, had already was crucified upside down around 65 to 68 AD. So this started to happen around 70 to 71 AD. So the rest of the, you know, the apostles that were alive, you know, and their followers were like, okay, it's time to get out of Dodge, because we were already forewarned about this. We were already told that we should already be, you know, repopulating the spiritual manifestation of brides throughout the whole world. So this is a an incentive, if you will, a major incentive to go out and preach the gospel, the Hebraic gospel. So this is what was happening there. So it's imperative that we understand that as we come back to where we are now and with the whole King Cyrus concept, okay? Because with that King Cyrus concept, one of the things that was talked about, and understand this, there is a King Cyrus that fulfilled this particular prophecy, and then there's a prophetic in time prophecy of a King Cyrus as well. So I may go back and forth, but I want to try to be as clear as possible as to not only what happened with the fulfilled King Cyrus, but also with our current president and the situation, and if he's a part of the prophecy of the protection of the DNA Israeli as well as the bride, okay? Those that believe in Torah and those that also believe in Yeshua, the testimony of Yeshua. And I'm coming right out of Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, and if you could read that real quick just to re-verify
sure.
before we move forward.
So just for everyone again, this is Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
Now, I know I don't have to say this, but I just like saying it so that we can get it really ingrained in your in your minds, and that is, if you have a salvation relationship with Jesus Christ, you're just doing good works, but you're not doing God works. If you have a relationship with the Father based upon Torah and you're trying to walk that out, okay, then you're trying to walk out the will of the Father, which is the will of the Father, the Torah is, but you're doing it without the very essence of Torah, which is the spirit of Torah, which is the spirit of Christ. You have to have both in order to fulfill this particular scripture pertaining to the patience of the saints. And you won't have patience if you don't have both. And if you don't have patience, then as the spirit of fear begins to escalate, it will rattle your cage. You will come unglued. You will be all over the place. You will think someone said boo, and you will jump. Just based upon the thought of what you thought someone said. And yet, and still calling yourself a believer. The Father is allowing these things to happen so that we as the bride will begin to ramp up and begin to really fortify. Because remember, and I think we've said this before, Pastor Andre, it's not the steps of a good man that is ordered by the Lord. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Yeah, but Rabbi, that's a scripture. Well, that scripture is a lie from the pit of hell because of the translation. It has been mistranslated. Okay? Now, correct me, help me out here. I think it's Psalm 37:23.
Yes, that's, oh, wow, praise the Lord. I just turned to that before you said it. Verse 23, you said? Yeah, that's amazing. So the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It says good man, but again, we have to go back to the Hebrew. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you break that down for us, sir.
Okay. So the word here is the word, the same root word that's used, geber, used for warrior, not just a good man, but a warrior. Okay, so let me read it with that in mind. The steps of a warrior are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, verse 24, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So it changes the whole, Rabbi, it changes the whole understanding when you consider a warrior, because a warrior, he gets back up and he continues to keep pressing in. A warrior doesn't just cower down. A warrior stands up and he stands his ground. He holds firm. He's steadfast. So it changed my perspective when you shared that with me the first time, Rabbi.
And it's important for us to understand that the Father is doing a Gideon's army right now. These seals that are opening are trying to find out who are the real warriors and who are the cowards, the whiny babies. The Father is shaking everyone's cage. He is allowing everyone to go through an SEE, the acronym, a significant emotional event, to see if you are so caught up in your emotions that you are no spiritual good for him. Because we are in a war. There is a battle raging, and it's not won by carnal means. It's won by spiritual means. So he's trying to find out who will stand up and be counted, who will be empowered to do great exploits. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12.
Okay, I'm there.
Okay, and if you read like 1 through about 5 or 6, I think it talks about those that are walking in righteousness and what's going to happen. That's a war. The war is a righteous war. The war is a war pertaining to Torah. The war is a war that's going to affect the rest of our tomorrow today. Your tomorrow, my tomorrow has been totally changed and just torn to pieces. But God says, I will take those pieces and make a new thing out of the pieces in your life. Sir, could you go ahead and read before I begin to prophesy? I'm getting happy.
Oh man,
I'm getting the ATS Saturday happy coming here. This is supposed to be very
okay.
Professional, very, you know, monotone, very blah blah blah, and my blah just went blue. Okay.
Here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 12. We're gonna start with verse 1 here, and go to about 5 or 6. These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land, which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it.
Did I say Daniel or did I say Deuteronomy?
Oh, Deuteronomy.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 4.
All right.
Okay, and I apologize if I said Deuteronomy. I don't think I did, but I might have.
Okay, here we go. Chapter 12, starting with verse 1. This is Daniel, chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they shall turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Verse 4.
All right, what verse is that?
But thou. So I just read verse 3.
Okay, read that again, because that is the one that I'm talking about. And this is, if you were wondering, well, why would he even open the seals against the bride? Why would he do that? Well, understand this. He knows that the bride is asleep. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. We're not going to read that. I'm just wanting you to understand where we're coming from, where he's coming from, actually. And he knows that there are, within the midst of the bride, even within the bride, there are foolish and wise. And both of them are asleep. So they need to be awakened, so that those who are foolish will be foolish still, fearful, cowardice. And those that are righteous and wise will be righteous still, will gird themselves up and begin to pray like they've never prayed and begin to move into the glory like they've never moved into the glory, and expect God to do great and mighty things and evangelize and to begin to touch people's lives like they've never been touched before. The revival that is talked about so often. But first, you and I need to be revived ourselves. We must be revived before a revival movement can move. And this is God's way of allowing the adversary to do what he does, to shake us, rattle our cage, to get us angry, and to use that anger for godly purposes.
Amen.
If you're not angry yet, beloved, give it time. If the bubonic plague doesn't get you riled up, give it time. Because it's coming. And the question is not whether or not it will come. But the question is, will you get to a place where you've had enough and being sick and tired of being sick and tired and ready to go after the adversary in a manner in which you have never done, a commitment level that has yet to be established in your life? This is what the Father expects. That commitment level is what is going to be the overcoming concept that he's talking about when he says to the churches, they that overcome, they that allow the commitment level to get to a place and get their resolve to a place to where it, Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. Could you read that? Because we're going to close, but we got to close on an up,
sure.
On an up level. Okay, we got to close on an up and not a down. Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
There's enough
good
down in the world. Amen. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, there's. Go ahead and finish your thought. There's enough down in the world, but we need to. What were we going to say?
Yeah, we need to establish and to close on an up.
Okay. Here is verse 35 of Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Mm.
For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature, any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
We are being placed on the crucible of persuasion. The Father is allowing us to be persuaded in the same manner in which Paul became persuaded that it didn't matter what befell him. Sickness, disease, he went through it all. Animals, stoning. He went through it all. He knew this. It wasn't like he did not know this. You need to understand that if the Father is going to have you go through this type of persecution, he will, being a loving Father, he's going to let you know prior to it ever happening. Okay? Acts chapter 9. And I'm going to start it by verse 12, 10 or 12, somewhere in there, and go to about 16. And this is where the Lord appears to the good Ananias and then begins to explain to him that he, the Father, the Yeshua, had already appeared to Paul and is in the process, even as he was talking to him, even as Yeshua was talking to the good Ananias. Yeshua was explaining to the good Ananias that Paul is being given a vision and a synopsis of what his purpose, his life, and his persecution was going to be. Go ahead and read.
Okay. Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Verse 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
Hmm. So, conclusion and recap, Pastor Andre.
All right. Wow. Today, we went on a journey. We began to talk about Cyrus, and we had to pause because we had to pause from talking about Mystery Babylon. But all of this was to lead us to this point of discussing, one, where are we in this whole timeline right now? We had to discuss going back to even Thessalonians, the authority of the Holy Spirit, and how he's preventing the Antichrist. We had to talk about the game plan that the Antichrist is trying to instill right now. And that is mainly fear. And he will basically be revealed upon the fears of people who will need and turn to a Savior. But Rabbi, one of the things you discussed even most recently today was the need for the bride even to wake herself up and not be asleep, going to Matthew chapter 25. And we left on this good note, and it's an excellent note in Romans chapter 8, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now that is, of course, nothing but ourselves. And we need to make sure that we are found and that we remain in him and in that love, in the love of God even, and making sure that we are endeavoring to have that patience as was described in Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, keeping the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is going to be what helps us to endure. Amen. Now, if this is your first time listening to These Be Perilous Times, again, we want to thank you for listening and taking time to join us this morning. We encourage you to study these things that we've discussed and be like the Bereans, as it says in the scripture, who studied and sought and went through the scriptures to determine if these things be true. And we pray that the Holy Spirit lead and guide you in that study. As a reminder, this is a broadcast of Congregation Beth Hashem. It's our outreach of our congregation here in Durham, North Carolina. If you have questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter or simply desire to leave us an encouraging note, you can email us at office@bethhashem.org. You can also visit our website, www.bethhashem.org. That's BethHashem.org. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. If you'd like to get a deeper understanding of the Hebraic roots of our faith, we have our college that will be having our courses this fall. Zakkai University of Learning offers courses in Messianic Apologetics and Biblical Jewish Studies, and you can view our course catalog online at courses.bethhashem.org. Finally, we'd like to thank those of you who have contributed and donated to this ministry. Tithes and offerings can be made via Cash App. We have a Cash App account with you can go to www.cashapp.com/$BethHashem. That's $BethHashem. Or you can mail to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. Again, thank you for those of you who have partnered and contributed to this ministry. At this time, we're going to go ahead and close with our After Torah study blessing. So tongue tie right there. After Torah study blessing, and I'll recite the Aaronic benediction and pass back to you, Rabbi, for our closing prayer. So now for the after Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yehuah Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu Torah emet, v'chaye olam natah bikokeinu. Baruch atah Yehuah noten haTorah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set our everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehuah, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, Rey del universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad, y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros, se bendiga Yehuah, dador de la Torah.
Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you. And I will recite the Aaronic benediction at this time. Yivarechecha Yehuah Beishmerecha Yayer Tvachua Panavelecha Nichunecha Yisayahua Panavalecha Veasemlecha Shalom. May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah, Yahushua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Rabbi, back to you.
Father God, as you are allowing the fifth seal to begin to shake our very resolve and to cause us to begin to move into a state of fight or flight, into a state of waking up and realizing the importance of who you called us to be and being that warrior bride that you desire. Father, we ask, and I ask, Father God, that there, if there be anything that would cause failure for me, for us, to fulfill the will and the purpose that you planned for this very hour, for this very time and season that we are in, Father, we give you permission by way of your spirit to pluck it out, to begin to purge every area of our life so that only white of the glory has room in our very being. Let all darkness cease. Let all evil cease. Let all secret sin cease, so that only that which is holy, that which is righteous, that which is Torah, that which is the spirit of Yeshua, live in us in abundance. It's our prayer, not only for ourselves, but for you who are listening to this broadcast. In the name of Yahushua, in the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. And until next broadcast, we'll be picking up and talking more about President Trump and King Cyrus, the biblical narratives pertaining to that, the Third Temple, and how all of that plays in the book Revelations. So until then, Shalom, Shalom.